The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at the Columbus Arts Council in Possum Town, Mississippi. And I got my co-host, Monk, with me.
Hi.
And from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, we have Adam Hood. How you doing, Adam?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Good, man.
What'd you call it? Possumville? The
Possum Town.
Possum Town.
That's what Columbus was known as before it was Columbus.
Why?
Way back in the day.
Because there's just a bunch of possums that live here?
No, like, because
people were sleeping on it.
Yeah,
really?
Because years ago, there was an Indian, there was a person who came into town, big prominent person in town, and the Native Americans said he looked like a possum. So they call it Possum Town whenever they come.
Big
this
Possum
way.
Town. Big yeah. Possum, he come. Yeah, so. Bring big wampum. Got a lot of squaw.
I wanted to open up with just y'all two. How did y'all two come across each other? Was it through radio?
Yeah.
Actually, you opened up for Will Hoag.
Oh, yeah.
At the Jupiter. And I was just standing there randomly, and your wife came over and tugged my arm and said, "Hey, I'm Adam Hood's wife. He wants to meet you." And that
Look
was
there.
It. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That, I didn't realize that we had done that show at the Jupiter. Okay.
Was it Will Hoag or was it somebody else?
Maybe I bet it had to have been somebody else. Because yeah. I did that show with Will. That was out there at the Government Plaza thing. Okay. And we knew each other before
then.
Yeah.
Okay. So
who was it then?
I don't know.
Somebody cool, probably.
I don't know, man. I mean, everybody used to play there. I mean, I remember Zach Brown Band opening up for Sister Hazel.
Oh, wow.
There, you know?
Yeah.
Won't happen now.
You won't see that again.
No.
You will not see that again.
Yeah. So we've known each other since then. And me working at 95.3 The Bear, Adam helped out a lot with, we do a St. Jude Radiothon once a year. Mm-hmm. He'd come and play a song for us. He'd sign our guitar and, you know, stuff like that. So.
Well, we just stayed in touch, too. You know, I mean, not just through the radio station. I think we had a lot of mutual music friends
and stuff
like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a big part of, like, why you're here tonight, right?
I know. Pretty much, I would say the vast majority, the lion's share of why I'm here is because of you. So, thank you.
Yes, thank you, man.
So, just to back it up a little bit, born and raised in Tuscaloosa?
Born and raised in Opelika. So, Opelika. Born and raised in Auburn country.
Okay.
Living in Alabama country. With a family of Bama graduates behind enemy lines.
So,
Yes.
So I want to know, how did both the girls end up Alabama fans?
I mean, they're heavily persuaded in one way or another. You know what I mean? And I don't have a leg to stand on. You know? We fire a coach every 6 months. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So what about like music? How did it get come into your life? Was it like mom and pop records or was it a friend in high school or how did that start?
I don't even know. And I get this question all the time. And after all these years, I still don't have an answer for it. I mean, I just feel like it's kind of always been there. I mean, you know, but I was telling my wife this earlier because my mom, she used to work at like a staffing company or something like that. This place that, you know, had gray walls and buzzing ceiling lights and stuff. And the shopping mall was about the same color, and so there was a guitar shop that was there that was the only thing that had like colors and curves and shapes and things like that. So I mean, I was 6 years old probably. I stayed there for hours. I can't believe that old man let me stay. I don't know. Yeah. I may have tore things up. I don't know if I did. nobody's faulted me for it, but yeah, it's just always been something I've always been fascinated with. And so I kind of made guitars out of tinfoil and all kinds of crazy, weird stuff that kids do until my parents bought me one.
Right on.
And they bought me one, and I started taking lessons. From a guitar teacher. I started taking it in seventh grade, and so the guy that I lived behind, who was my best friend growing up, he would take lessons on like Tuesdays, and I would take lessons on Wednesdays, and so we would teach each other the things that we learned. And so it was kind of, you know, kind of a two-for-one lesson. Mm-hmm. And so just went from there. I've just, like I said, it's just always been something I've done.
That's kind of similar, like when I started getting into music, best friend of mine in high school, mm-hmm, played Proud Mary at a talent show. He just blew my hair back. And
yeah.
I was like, I want to play guitar.
Yeah, right.
And lo and behold, like a cat here in Columbus, Dennis McKay, he would be giving guitar lessons, and Sid was taking those lessons, and he got me over here, and it was that same thing. It was like, I'd get a little dose of what he was learning, and then I'd go in for mine.
Hmm, that's cool. It's not, I mean, you know, it's funny, you can learn things in your 30, 60-minute classes, but the practical application has always been playing with friends, you know. Mm-hmm. If I played by myself, I didn't learn as much as it's just having somebody to kind of, you know, somebody to sort of keep a bit of a metronome and somebody to bounce ideas off of. It still works that way with writing and stuff.
What about with the early days of getting on stage and performing? Would you be solo, or was it a band at that time?
I didn't really have a consistent band. I still don't have a consistent band. I do now for this record, but I mean Auburn was a college town, so you know, if there were musicians in that town, they split by the, you know, fall semester or you know, something like that. So I really didn't have a core group of guys that I stuck with as far as like bass and drums, you know. And I mean, You got to be committed to those kind of things, and that commitment just kind of, I don't know, I just never found those guys. And so which is nice, because you know, a lot of my, you know, guitar techniques I learned just having to cover bass lines by myself. I mean, even when we were, you know, when we made the Different Groove record, that was 2007, and we did over 300 shows, and we did it two piece, just me and a drummer.
Wow.
You know, because I mean, you know, well, here we're in Mississippi. I mean, that's a common occurrence, but it's not a common occurrence everywhere else. You know what I mean? So, but it's just kind of making it work, and it kind of helped me, you know, hone my techniques in.
Yeah, you say over 300 shows. I remember I had a friend from years ago from Wadley, Alabama, and I said, yeah, my friend Adam Hood is playing down there. Have you ever seen Adam? She's like, oh yeah. She's like, I went to Auburn. Yes, we've seen Adam.
We saw Adam a bunch. Yeah. Yeah, it was a place called Champs. It was so out on Wire Road. So there was campus in the downtown area, and that was where the younger kids hung out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They wanted more dance stuff. They didn't care about Rolling Stone songs, and so we found Wire Road, and there was Fat Daddy's, and then there was Champs, and then there was a Duck. And Fat Daddy's, when Champs was still there, Fat Daddy's was called like the Gentilly Pub or Gentilly Quick or something like that. But there were those three bars, the Duck was Posey's place, Chris Posey's place, and Champs was my place, and the Gentilly was kind of a free for all. That was one of the places where you wind up, and then, you know, after that, you wind up at the supper club. So,
awesome.
That was all I ever wanted to do. All I ever wanted to do was just play the supper club. I'd arrived once I did that. You know?
Yeah. What about like a Standard Deluxe out in Waverly? You got any members out there?
Yeah, I mean, on my little EP that I've got with this, to play something we know, I've got a Standard Deluxe shirt on. You know, I kind of saved Standard Deluxe for special occasions. You know, I mean, I say I did, but it was probably Scott probably was a lot more the decision maker in when I played there or not. But, you know, like I did it a couple of years ago at Christmas time and stuff like that, you know, and it's just a cool place. But you want it to be special because it is special. You know, want it to be like your homecoming or some kind of a destination.
I went, and I think I had an Adam Hood shirt on, but we hung out. You played the Fall Boogie, I believe, or Spring Boogie 1 year.
Yeah.
And I went down there, and this girl saw me. Maybe I had an Adam Hood hat on. And she was like, oh, I love Adam Hood. I came all the way down from Wisconsin.
Wow.
To see Adam Hood.
Yeah.
And so I hooked up, and like I was texting him, like, when are you going to be here? And he was like, I'm pulling up now. So we went over, and she freaked out, me and Adam, for the first time. I was like, all right, well, there you go. That happened. So,
yeah.
That's down at Standard Deluxe.
That's not a regular occasion, though.
That's a great place to see a show, though.
Well, and it wasn't, you know, when we were getting started, like, you know, Standard Deluxe wasn't really there. I feel like the more original music venues kind of found their way into establishment about the last couple of years we were getting out, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we struggled, you know, fighting the good fight with covers and stuff like that, and then just eventually Texas opened up. And so by the time Texas opened up for me, that was when we were about a year later, you know, that was when the places like Standard Deluxe kind of got established. So I was across the Mississippi by that time.
Yeah, and by the time that Texas was opening up, as far as like crafting songs and how did that happen for you? How did they learn about Adam Hood?
So I had a manager that lived outside of Austin at the time, and so it was kind of a fluke. You know, I mean, I know guys that will kind of make it an intention and a goal to say, okay, you know, I realize that there's a lot of bars over here, I'll come play, and mm-hmm. it either takes off or it doesn't. And so I feel like that I kind of found my way to Texas, you know, by happenstance, really, and I fell in love with it. That was always the kind of music I listened to anyway, Steve Earle, Delbert McClinton, stuff like that.
Oh, man, dude. Transcendental Blues, that might be my favorite.
It's a great record. Earle. Yep, that's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah. You've got a pretty big event coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that. I don't know if you might want to open that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember the Instagram video when you mm-hmm. found out.
Yeah.
So for everybody that doesn't know, Adam's playing the Opry for the first time tomorrow night. That'd be the 22nd of October. So, like, really, like, what was that like?
I didn't even realize it was in our scope. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I didn't know. You know, it's one of those things where everybody wants to do it, but as far as making it something, you know, like, okay, why don't we see if we can play the Opry next month? You know what I mean? Like, that's not really a conversation. And so, you know, when Zach, my publicist, hit me with that, I was kind of floored. I mean, I'm still a little floored. And the cool thing is, like, you know, Caitlin Butts played it recently, and the Moon Pies have played it, and Jason Edie's playing it. Another Mississippi native is playing it next month. And so, you know, Jason's a really good friend of mine, and Brent's done it two or three times. And so I've got friends that are, you know, instead of it watching me, you know, me watching Darius Rucker do it, like, I got people that I actually know their cell phone number. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot to be proud of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm really proud of it. I'm really nervous.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, because there's a lot of, I mean, this was Saturday nights are on television too, so you know, they're gonna see me on the TV. So, you know, one of the ladies at the doctor's office said that she tapes them every Saturday, so she'll be watching, you know.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, it's people like that that are, you know, they're religious about it, and they're there to see who's playing. It doesn't matter if they know who it is. You know what I mean? They just know that's where they're going to go. If you want to hear somebody that you've never heard and like them, you go to the Opry, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah. What about, like, just back to Texas for a minute? You mentioned, like, Steve Earle. Did you get an opportunity to hang out and play with him in here?
No, I never hung out with Steve. I know that he's, you know, I think ever since Guy Clark died, you know, I've got a buddy named Eric Dillon that's really good friends with Steve. And I think losing Guy, Eric had mentioned that Steve understands the responsibility of passing the torch. So he's been writing. I mean, Channing Wilson's written with him, and like I said, Eric's written a bunch with him, and so he's a lot more open to it these days. It's just, you know, I haven't found the right window, and I haven't asked either. I haven't pushed for it yet either. So
what about
been kind of busy?
What about parts of Texas? Would it be like Austin City Limits or?
As far as like playing and stuff, oh man, I played everywhere. I mean, everywhere from Shreveport, Del Paso. You know, I mean, we haven't hit the Mexican border yet. That's the only place in Texas that we haven't played.
Gotta get down to Laredo.
I mean, just it's only a matter of time.
So, tell us about the new album. Totally, like, I love the live videos that you were doing with Charlie Starr and everybody.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Was that a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, so Bad Days Better is the name of the record. It's a COVID record, basically. And so Capricorn Studios opened in December 2019. Everything shut down March 2020. And so, you know, that place was, you know, doors were unlocked. Or they weren't unlocked. But, you know, like, it was open for business and nobody there to record. And my manager, Ben Ratliff, had gone down there, I guess, and don't quote me on this, I think it was for their grand opening. And he just kind of got to know those guys. And so Brent Cobb is the guy that produced the record, and Brent's another friend of mine. And so, you know, Brent and I share an apartment in Nashville, and so we're together all the time. And so when it came time to talk about songs for a record, let's make a record, you know, what are you going to do with your next record?
I really enjoyed his last one.
I mean, he's great, yeah. I mean, just kind of outer space, good writer. And so he just had a lot of input on, you know, man, this is a good song. I don't think you ought to record this one. So, you know, the conversation just kind of steered its way into, well, why don't you just produce it? And so, you know, Brent was like, well, if you're serious, all right, I'll do it. And so he said, well, let's go to Capricorn. And Ben said, I bet I can get the Blackberry Smoke guys to come in because they weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. And so Charlie and Britt and Richard came, and we spent, it's like the last week in August, we spent 5 days down there, went and got an Airbnb in Macon, and just, you know, got up in the morning and went to the studio and stayed there about 12 hours and had a blast. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was a great experience. And, I mean, the cool thing is, like, you know, part of me, we didn't do anything different with this record, but we did everything different with this record, too. You know what I mean? So there's a part of me that I'm thankful for all the attention that the record's gotten. And I think it's going to get more attention just because it's really special. But, like, I feel like that more people are involved in this one, like more people are invested in this record, and that sort of takes a little bit of pressure off of me to sort of, I have a reason to go promote it, you know what I mean? I can get behind it because I know that there are other people that are, you know, not like, Brent and Miranda Lambert sang on it, and I wrote a song with Warren Haynes on it, just a bunch of different, you know, just all kind of genres of music, and so that, you know, they've actively participated in this record. And so by having them do that, it kind of legitimized it. And it also, again, not to beat the tar out of a responsibility, but at the same time, it's like, you know, okay, if it means that much to them, then I need to see if I can work this one a little bit harder than the average bear, you know?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, roommates with Brent Cobb and Miranda Lambert or, like, some of the people you've worked with over the mm-hmm. past, is it really, like, the iron sharpening iron when it comes to getting these songs ready for the records? And, well, that song's good, but let's go with this one.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
So a lot of collaborative.
100%. I mean, you know, I do write by myself. And you know, during COVID, I'd written a lot by myself. But before COVID, I would say that, you know, I probably hadn't written a song by myself in 4 or 5 years, you know. And it's just, and not out of laziness, it's just because, you know, I'd had publishing deals. I you know, wrote for different publishers for about 12, 13 years in Nashville. And so, you know, with publishers, you kind of have a quota to meet. And you also have, you know, there's a certain amount of songs you have to turn in that are written, but you also have to get a certain amount of those songs recorded, you know, I mean, they're paying you to do that. You know what,
right?
I mean, and so, you know, me recording them is not going to, they don't put money in the bank. But, you know, if Miranda or you know, Whiskey Myers or Anderson East or people like that, if they record those songs, that's you know, recoupable income. And so
mailbox money.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, mailbox money. Yeah, after they get theirs first. Yeah, now, yeah. Mind you, yeah, don't sit by, I ain't been sit by the mailbox for a little while. I understand that you'll trickle down.
Gotcha.
You know. But yeah, I mean, so by doing that, that sort of opens, I kind of try to save ideas, you know. I don't want to write something by myself that I know, I mean, even with Brent, you know, I can either go ahead and finish this, or I can save this one for Brent and get his opinion and his, you know, his take on all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's great.
All right, well, let's do three questions to walk it on out the door. You got 10 minutes till showtime.
Ooh, okay, I better go put my fancy clothes on.
Yeah.
Put my makeup on.
We'll walk you up the back way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you can get right in the green room.
First question is, as far as people finding your latest record or what you have going on, is there a place on social media or a website that they can go to stay in touch?
Yeah, adamhood.com. I mean, we have all our resources are there. So, I mean, all the links to our social media, all the links that to, like, all the, you know, whatever streaming service you choose, be it Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, whatever it is, Amazon. I mean, it's all there. You can buy stuff. You can buy merch from us and tour dates and all that stuff. Yeah, I'd say that I'd go to adamhood.com and, you know, before I went to my Facebook page. Adamhood.com will get you to my Facebook page, though.
Question two is, big milestone, Grand Ole Opry tomorrow night. Mm. Is there any other venue that you would really like to get after in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. I wet my whistle at Red Rocks one time. We were on we did this thing called the Country Throwdown Tour in 2011, and I was part of the Bluebird Songwriters tent, and so there were basically three stages. There was the songwriters, and there were six of us that year, so it was me and Brent and Aaron Enderlin and Caitlin Smith and Austin Lucas and Danny Flowers.
What a team.
Yeah, right? I know. And nobody knew who anybody was. I mean, nobody knew who Caitlin Smith was. Nobody knew who – I mean, Brent still had short hair then, you know? So, and so it was – we were that tent, and then the side stage was Craig Campbell, Brantley Gilbert, Drake White was the – first guy.
Randy Houser, was he a part of that?
Houser was on there. He was on the big stage. So gotcha. it was Lee Bryce, Houser, Jamie Johnson, Willie Nelson, and then Jack Ingram jumped on some of them. So it was the people that did Lollapalooza. This was like their country music version of Lollapalooza, like the Warp Tour. So I guess Lollapalooza is kind of its own.
Sure.
It's in one spot. These are touring.
It doesn't
things.
Tour anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So we hit Red Rocks, and so the cool thing was, like, we played the side stage, yes, but they would let us three at a time while on the big stage while other acts were breaking down and setting up and all that stuff. They let us go there and do two songs apiece, so we got to play two songs at Red
That's
Rocks.
Awesome.
I'd like to have my little spot back again, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You got anything?
I'm good.
I've got one more. Is what was your favorite part of this interview?
All of it so far. This is good. I like the questions about writing. I really, you know, and I feel like we've kind of talked about this a lot. You know, I didn't really have a whole lot of encouragement or suggestions or anything like that. I kind of had to figure all this crap out on my own, and so I appreciate and enjoy answering questions about the process.
Yeah.
Because if it helps anybody make something rhyme, or if it helps anybody get the third verse done, that's really important, man.
And spending time with your music, like, the thing that I appreciate the most, it's like you're really good about a hook.
Thank you. Which I feel like is I feel like I'm a great second verse writer. I think I'm terrible at hooks. So thank you for saying so.
It's usually found there.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
The hook is in. And see, that's, you know, Daryl Scott and guys like that. Like, that was kind of the thing with those guys. You would the things, like the real gut punch was somewhere snuck in there. It's not always in the last line of the chorus. That may not necessarily be the most relevant part of the song, you know? And that's the style that I appreciated the most. Mm-hmm. And so because I liked that the most, that's the style I developed. And, you know, but it forces you to listen. And I don't have anything different to say. I mean, with this record, I do. I mean, there's a lot of thank you, Lords, and a lot of, you know, positive thinking with this. And rightfully so, because, you know, I've had to come out of that stuff on my own, number one. And number two, well, we need that, you know, especially, in, yeah, you know, kind of where we came from and where we are. I mean, just, you know, just, hey, let's all take it easy. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So, but by doing that, you know, I don't want that to fall on deaf ears, you know. But I also don't want to talk over anybody's head, you know. I mean, I shouldn't, I make the comment when we're playing that, like, oh, I don't know. I don't really tell the. I don't have a whole lot of storytelling time, because the songs kind of speak for themselves. They tell their own stories, and
yeah,
if I'm talking over your head, I'm talking over my head too. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
We're in the same boat.
And just when I'm working on a song, typically my first verse, and I try to stick with that. Okay, if someone's giving me 15, 20 seconds, if I don't catch them with a good little guitar riff,
yeah,
well, the first line better be good. But then I always, typically, it's kind of with the same style. Verse two is really the banger.
Absolutely. You got to keep them. Yeah.
Once you
got them, if you got them there, then keeping them is that much more important.
Right. I don't.
Or you can listen to Kid Rock, who said, "Don't bore us, get to the chorus."
Yeah, that's right. Kid Rock.
Well, that's something to live by.
I got a song on his new record, too. In fact, that's interesting.
You need to go get ready.
I need to go put my pants on, yeah.
Adam, thank you so much.
Thank y'all. I enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.